talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS. This is my favorite half hour of the week, Daryl Grandy here, alongside my dear close personal friend, the lovely, the talented Michelle Conti, ContiLawPGH.com. That is the website, ContiLawPGH.com, for the Conti Law Firm, 724-784-0239, 724-784-0239. And the physical address, two locations, 7880 Steubenville Pike in North Fayette, and the brand new location, Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104, Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. Although, Michelle, I probably should edit my words based on what we talked about last week, the award-winning Conti Law Firm of Western Pennsylvania. Congratulations once again to the awards you had recently received.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And again, best place to work. And we talked last week about what, in your estimation, makes an effective law firm, not just as a place for the people listening to call, but just the effective workplace, the effective law firm as a workplace. Lest we forget, that's what that is over at Conti Law. It is a workplace as well. So congratulations once again on this fantastic achievement on your part. So as we sit here, this is the next last show of 2025 as we wrap up. And first off, before we get lost in the sauce here of the show, I want to wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas as it comes up later on this week on Thursday. And before that, for those maybe more familiar with the Seinfeld, comes Festivus. That's coming up pretty darn soon, December 23rd, for the were you a big Seinfeld fan back in the day?
I wasn't. Not so much as my friends were. But sure. I've watched a number of episodes, and I can tell you, and before anybody else tells you, yes, I do dance a little bit like Elaine. A little bit.
Can't wait to see it sometime. I'm sure the video footage is out there somewhere, Michelle Conti dancing like Elaine Menes. But coming up on Tuesday is December 23rd, and that is what Seinfeld aficionados in the world at large, because it's kind of transcended that, has come to known as Festivus. And it is a day, of course, inspired by the show Seinfeld. And among the many features of Festivus, one of the many traditions of Festivus, is the airing of grievances. And that's what you wanted to kind of bring to the table in the show. You wanted to do it last week, but I thought, you know what? We're coming up on Festivus, so you want to air some grievances, not personal grudges. We're not spilling tea here, per se, on certain clients. If we were, I'm sure we'd be able to hide the names. I could do some editing and post-production here. But overall, sort of grievances and things that bother you. Why? I'll lay out for most of this because you're the one doing the ranting here. But in terms of the things that bother you, what, professionally, in terms of what people will come to you with, misconceptions, myths, things you have to sort of work to overcome in your path here. Talk about where you want to go with this week's show.
So we see a lot. We've been in business quite a while.
Sure.
And, you know, this is all we do.
Yes.
And so we've heard it, and every time I hear something new that, you know, shouldn't baffle me, but does, there's, you know, some other attorneys, whether they're here in office or another law firm, mm-hmm. who I've been friends with for many decades, who I call, and they all say the same thing. You get the damnedest cases. You get the most bizarre things we've ever heard of ever that has never, you know, has never been brought up in the past.
And they all say it about you.
Yeah.
Is that how it works? They all say it about you. Wow. Huh. Interesting.
They do. And it makes me laugh.
Yeah, right.
Because it's true.
Yes.
You know, not everybody's case is the same. But I guess I would start with...
Sure.
Say what you mean.
Okay.
You know, of course,
Explain.
It has to be in the legalese, but... Say what you mean, because that's what the document is going to be able to tell. You're telling a story once you're passed, because you won't be here anymore. And you can't attest to the fact that this is what you mean. So we can't really, we can always say we think
this is
what they meant. And unless they worked with us prior when they were alive, if it's coming from another law firm, or maybe they have a holographic will that they drafted themselves, we certainly don't know what their mindset was. But we want to be able to, you know, worst case scenario, go to court and say, this was their intention, this is what they wanted to happen, this is why it should happen. And if we don't have that clear-cut dialogue, sure. if the verbiage isn't present in the document, then our hands are tied.
I tell people,
I don't care how complicated you think it is.
Right.
Tell us what you actually want, and we'll make it read that way.
Because the idea of conjecture would not have a leg to stand on, would it? It would not be your place as a law firm to exercise a conjecture as to what a person would have wanted. As much as it's tossed around in colloquialism, it's not really on the family either, right? It's not really on the next of kin to talk about what they would have wanted, because that's just conjecture, right? You need to, as you said, say what you mean in terms of being declarative, being definitive, and saying, this is what I want to happen. Otherwise, the chaos that could ensue if that does not happen, all the woulda, coulda, shoulda, wanteds in the world don't add up to what actually needs to happen for this process to take place effectively.
Right. So if we don't know the intention behind the meaning and we can't ask that person what they meant, then we can't be expected to go into court. Right. Our hands are tied. We can't go into court and say, well, Joe wanted X, Y, and Z, and this was his intention, and that's what you need to follow. So saying what you mean and actually having the document reflect your meaning is important.
Now, is there a way to, not that you advise at all for this to happen, but is there a way to get around that? You mentioned the holographic will. That's I think you and I have talked about this before, but that is a sort of esoteric sounding terminology. What is a holographic will?
A holographic will is when a person drafts the will themselves. So, typically it's handwritten on a piece of paper. It's not witnessed. It's not notarized.
Oh.
It's still difficult to get it entered in front of a judge to be the real document because you need sometimes, now this is extreme, but a handwriting expert. We need to make sure that was the person's signature. Was it dated? Hmm. And did that person, were they of sound mind? Because if it's not drafted by an attorney, if it's not witnessed, not notarized, we don't know the mindset that they had. And of course, that opens the door for somebody to contest the validity of the will.
Oh, sure.
To contest.
Or to forge their own.
Under, duress, undue influence.
Right.
Or forgery, even.
Yeah.
So I don't ever recommend a holographic will.
No. Of course not.
There have been times where that's all we have to work with.
I was going
to
say, would that, if that were the case, if that was the best thing you had to work with, is that what you would have to work with? I mean, and I guess, and God, that sucks.
It does.
Really?
It does. I had one.
No other way around it.
I had one this year, believe it or not.
Oh, no. How?
That an elderly lady, she was a world-class, and I know I'm not going to get her title right.
Okay.
But she was a natural doctor, naturopath.
Oh, naturopathy. Right.
And she worked with some really famous people. I only know this because when we were doing the inventory of her estate, there were notes.
Oh.
That's still confidential even after they die. So we have all of her notes with these folks that she's worked with. I mean, it went back to the 70s. So some of those famous TV stars.
Sure, sure.
Movie stars. It was really cool to see, but she did her own will. She drafted her own will. She was, her spouse predeceased her. She didn't have any kids. And there was a one-page will that left everything to her one nephew.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Which was fine.
Right.
However, the problem is, in a will, you have to list who's your executor.
Right.
Who's the beneficiary if that person dies? What is the role of the executor? What can and can't they do? There's so many things that go into a will. It's more than just a two-line document that says, when I die, it goes to Daryl.
Right.
The end.
Yeah. Case closed.
And so I was very upfront with my client and said, here are my expectations. They're not high.
Right.
I don't know if this is going to get kicked out. And if it gets kicked out, remember, there's rules in Pennsylvania that if you're not a blood relative, a lineal descendant, if somebody, if they were to kick that will out, right, mm-hmm. as though you don't have a will when you die, it goes to your next blood relative.
Sure.
And, you know, they're going to look, are there spouses, kids, parents, siblings, nieces, and nephews? And in this instance, this was not a blood relative she was leaving things to. This was her spouse's side. And I will say, fortunately, the will we got validated, everything was okay.
Right.
But the job of the attorney, my role in this case, was to set expectations and say, look, if the judge kicks this, you don't have a leg to stand on.
Right.
We're done.
Right.
Wow. And so working with a professional
gamble.
Who knows the ins and outs is important.
It's very important. And again, say what you mean. Most importantly is the point of all of this. Say what you mean and make sure it's in writing and as professionally professional writing, too, not just personal writing, not just the back of a napkin, but professionally written. Say what you mean. A very, very important tenet. So what are the grievances? Are when we start, before we start rolling here, I think you did mention one, a grievance you had or an issue you had or something
this
to avoid.
This was a new one.
Involving executor? Is that? Are we
it is. Okay. So we had folks who came in and they had a will done by an attorney.
Okay.
And of course, I always say, bring in your documents. I'll review them.
Sure.
I'll give you my 2 cents, my opinion, if they're any good. And again, my clients can attest to the fact I'm very, very transparent. I'm very honest. You know, I don't ever expect somebody not to be smarter than I am. You can Google it just as well as I can. Right?
Right.
So I was reviewing their documents, and before I review them, I always ask the question, what do you want to happen when you die? Who do you want to inherit? Who's in charge? Because I want to make sure it lines up with what they're giving me to review. And this one had everything going to, or what their answer was, is they wanted it, their child had passed away, sadly, and they wanted everything to go to the grandkids. And the grandkids were minors. Mm. And so I'm reviewing the document, and it has everything going to a nephew. Mm. And so, of course, I paused and I asked the question, well, who's this person?
Right.
That's not the 2 grandkids you just told me. And they said, oh, that's the person who's going to manage the money for them. And on all of their accounts, retirement, life insurance, in the will, everything was going to this nephew. And that was a red flag.
Yeah.
And this was drafted by an attorney, by the way, which I was very disappointed. You have to know the ramifications. Now, I'm fortunate. I have a tax background. And I said to them, well, if you leave this to the nephew, first of all, your estate's now being taxed at 15% as opposed to the grandchild's rate of 4.5%. That's a big difference.
Why would that be?
And when there's retirement in place, don't forget, now there's income tax.
Okay.
And this nephew was an adult. So his income tax rate is much higher than these minor.
I see. Okay. Okay. I got you.
So we need to make sure that what you want to happen is actually established in the documents. And in these folks' case, it wasn't. And when I explained it to them, of course, they said, oh, well, that makes sense, but he's in charge. And I said, I understand that.
Right.
But there's a way to designate and say, Johnny and Susie are beneficiaries. However, Joe, the nephew, is going to manage this until Johnny and Susie turn 25 or 18 or 92, whatever age you want.
Right, doesn't matter.
But all of that's important, just like especially when you have a loved one that has special needs and is collecting governmental benefits.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the topper on my cake. that you want, you know, so I'm leaving everything to you, but you're collecting, you're receiving governmental benefits, Medicaid, VA benefits, some sort of, you know, Social Security. There are rules about if you inherit, what happens. And most often what happens is you lose your benefits. You use the inheritance to repay the benefits you've received to date. And then you can go through that reapplication process to get back on the benefits. Well, if you work with an estate attorney who's who knows what they're doing,
right.
You know, there's a way around that where you get the best of both worlds. And we can create something called a third-party trust that allows them to receive the inheritance and continue to collect the benefits.
Ah, okay, okay.
It amazes me, A, how many people don't handle it that way, or even, but if they do, don't update beneficiary designations.
Hmm.
So if I say in my will, Daryl, you're getting it, but if you're collecting governmental benefits, it's going into this third-party trust, maybe I have life insurance, maybe I have a retirement account or an annuity or something that allows me to list a beneficiary, we actually have to update those beneficiaries to reflect that trust for you. But a lot of people aren't dotting I's and crossing T's. And that's probably, for 2025, my biggest grievance is follow through, making sure everything matches the client's intention.
You brought up something very interesting, and oh, you always do, but in this particular case, you talked about the how you, another attorney, the one they originally went to with the will, allowed that scenario to happen, and you called foul, you pulled out the challenge flag on that one. Is that something that you ever establish with the other attorney directly, or even like at a cocktail party, or, well, you know, why'd you do this or something like that? You just like pick the brain or something to that effect, because that would almost seem like a counterpoint. And, you know, we talk about where you go is as important as what you do in terms of the Conti law firm versus other firms. Is that sort of thing, is that a practice? How would you, you know, I guess, know to do that in terms of how would you address that situation? Do you address it with the client directly?
So that's the downside, because if you know me, which you do.
I do.
I can get on my soapbox.
Yes.
And I can go and spew my what frustrates me. I can just let it all out.
Absolutely.
I get really heated.
Yes.
Because I am passionate about
right.
it.
Right.
You know, these clients are trusting you. They're paying you money.
Sure.
And they expect a certain service. And I treat my clients, I say this all the time, like my family. My parents
right.
have no idea what the heck I'm talking about half the time.
Right.
But they trust me to actually put it into the legal document. And they say, well, if that's what you say it means, then I believe you and I trust you. And,
sure.
and that's good enough for me. I can't tell you how many times clients have said that to me. And I, you know, I'm honored that
right.
they trust me, but I want them to actually understand. And so I do take the extra, whether it's 20 minutes or an hour, to go through that with them and explain it to them.
Sure.
But on the flip side, it's confidential. So
right.
I cannot, you know, call attorney, you know, Anthony
yeah.
out
and say
directly. What the heck were you doing? You screwed it up.
I guess it's part and parcel of them, you know, giving you the keys to the car, as it were, in terms of you. It has to be a tricky balance on your part, because if that's sometimes, I'm sure a client will come to you with the intent of, okay, I'm going to leave this asset to this person, and, you know, maybe with reservations or maybe with qualifications therein, and it has to be a tricky balance for you to between abiding by the client's wishes and B, maybe sometimes stepping in, as it were, if the wishes don't necessarily make the most sense as far as you can surmise based on your all 22 view of what's going on.
Right. And there have been times actually recently within the past couple weeks where I have point blank said to a potential client, I do not feel comfortable charging you
uh-huh.
to do what you've already paid attorney so-and-so for.
Interesting.
If I were you, I would call them back and I would tell them they did it wrong.
Interesting.
And here's what it should include.
Sure.
Now, some people don't feel comfortable doing that, and I've had people flat out tell me, nope, I'd rather pay you, do it right.
Right.
Just do it right, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, that's not my take. I firmly believe if you pay somebody to do it correctly, they should do it correctly the first time.
Makes sense.
And if they haven't,
makes
then
sense.
You call them on it and they fix it.
Right.
You know, that happens all the time. Everybody screws up. We've all screwed up. But most people don't feel comfortable doing that. And so
sure.
you know, we try to make their life easier. And maybe it's just a basic beneficiary change form, and I will instruct them at that point, okay, then you're going to get this form and you're going to fill it out and you're going to put these words in there and make it all, you know, mesh together. But it is, it's a tricky balance because it's not my decision to make. And I say that all the time. It's sure. personal preference. You can handle it one of two ways. Here's what I would do. But, you know, it's up to you.
I would think also along those lines, you, in terms of what you just mentioned there, now if you, it's one thing for the person to come to you after going to another, having their will done with another attorney and having that, you know, done, and maybe you point out a tactical issue or a tactical thing that, okay, I may not have done it this way. What if you actually review the document or a document and point out an actual error, like an actual either an error in something or something that you know is wrong, not I think it's wrong, not I wouldn't do this wrong, but actual wrong, is this something you'd point out to the client immediately and say, go back to your attorney and have him fix this?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't even have to.
Right.
I don't even have to pause for that.
Yeah.
I had a lady.
No notes.
I think I mentioned this before. She had a draft will that she paid an attorney to do. He sent her the draft. She looked at them. She came in and she said, I don't know what I'm reading. And he didn't take the time to explain this. And I think it's not right. And I said, well, let me take a look. And on the first page, and her name's Allie.
Right.
She wasn't married, by the way. And on the first page, it said, I leave everything to my spouse, Sally.
Oh.
Well, she's Sally, and she's not married.
Oh.
Like, that's a blatant error paragraph, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So that's a problem. And she was one of the folks that I said, you paid him for this?
Maybe you gave him a check.
Call him and say, review your documents before, you know, you do them. You know, that was blatant. It's not typically that right in your face. More so it's the beneficiaries aren't updated, or it's failing to plan for a minor beneficiary or a beneficiary who's collecting benefits. So putting that appropriate verbiage in there. But in this case, I mean, it was within the first 2 minutes I read page one, and I said, hold on, are you married? I swear she told me she wasn't.
Right.
And I said, and are you married to yourself? Because that would be the first. That would be a first for me.
Wow, yeah,
and,
right.
So, you know, that one made me laugh.
Oh, my God.
She did not go back to that attorney. We just fixed her documents.
Oh, really? Oh, you can do that? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I said, you know, I don't know what you paid him. And again, it's not my business.
Right.
But I would go back to him and tell him to fix it. And she didn't feel comfortable. So we just, you know, did them for her from scratch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. So you got yourself a new client that way. That's
right.
Oh, man. But it does go to show, as we wrap things up here, what a tricky process all this is and how important it is to be on point and how important it is to, as we've talked about many times, to do it right the first time and to, you know, be clear, be direct, be blunt if you have to, but be clear, be direct, be as forthright as you can, put all the cards on the table, no ambiguity, no woulda, coulda, shouldas, because this is something that you can't really afford a woulda, coulda, shoulda in this case, especially after the time and the person has passed.
You're gone.
Right, especially
right. If you're deceased. And I always laugh when people will say, you know, I have two kids. I want to make sure one of them doesn't get anything. And I tell them, okay, but we have to put special language in there. And
right.
It always makes me laugh when somebody says, well, I don't feel comfortable. That'll hurt their feelings. And it's not, in my opinion, sounds cold, but I really don't care about their feelings, because what I'm thinking of is, okay, they sue your estate when you die. You can't testify. And if we don't have the right language in here, we're kind of stuck.
Yeah,
because then that opens the door for them to make your executor's life miserable.
A lot of them care about your feelings.
Year, 2 years.
So much to unpack and so much to unravel here. But we got the holidays here. We got to be more festive with the holidays. And we just air the grievances. Let's have a great holiday season. All the best to you, Michelle, and your family and the staff over at Conti Law. Once again, contilawpgh.com, 724-784-0239, 724-784-0239. Again, two locations, physical locations, 7880 Steubenville Pike. That's North Fayette. I'll be there pretty soon. We'll do some broadcasts from there. Get the rest of the team on the mic, as it were. And also the Waynesburg location, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104, Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. Any final words for the audience and listener land before we sign off here on this fine December day?
Just enjoy the rest of the year.
Yes.
Wishing everybody a happy holiday. You know, Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate.
Whatever it is.
Enjoy what you have and who you can spend the time with.
Exactly. Enjoy what you have, enjoy who you have, and enjoy the moment. Because as you know, we don't get many of them to truly enjoy before it's too late. So all good right there, Michelle. Thank you very much. Best holidays wishes to you and your family and your staff.
Same to you.
We'll be right back here in 7 days here on the State Essentials of Estate Planning, talking Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Stay close.